Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 3rd of September, and I'm recording at 9:52 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Well, you will have probably noticed that as far as the European stock markets are concerned, that one week they're full of optimism because they're focusing on what Mario Draghi at the ECB is going to do next. And then, of course, the following week, he's forgotten, and all the focus is on what Vladimir Putin, the ogre puppet monster, is going to be doing. Well, this week, predictably, as we discussed earlier in these audios, Putin's lying low, actually being more of a diplomatic apparent peacemaker. And there's good reason for that, because we know that all the European NATO leaders and also President Obama will be meeting at Wales to discuss the next round of sanctions against Russia. Putin would obviously like to weaken the argument for tighter sanctions, and that's what he's attempting to do. So it'll be interesting to see what the outcome actually is. I think that any person with their eyes open and familiar with Putin's long history knows that this is a dangerous situation, that he really can't be trusted, and that he is likely to be aggressive if Europe backs down in its efforts to discourage him. Now, obviously, we obviously hope that's not going to involve an outright war against Putin, but tough sanctions are the preferred modern way of dealing with the situation. So let's see if we get the tough sanctions, and those would need to include some restraints on the ability to make bank transfers. We'll see if that happens. But today, it's all green here in terms of the performance figures for Europe, and some good gains. And we see France, Germany, Spain, Italy, all up over 1% or nearly above 1%. Also, the Euro Stoxx index up almost 1.25% as they encounter some short covering and perhaps some bargain hunting. My own feeling is that Europe is going to face a headwind from the Russian situation for the lengthy medium term. I hope that's too pessimistic, but that's my guess. But I wouldn't be panicking about European stocks overall. The ones that we like and have liked for a very long time are the autonomies. In other words, the big multinational companies within Europe that are not just dependent on how the European economies are actually performing, but are also earning revenue from their business activities around the globe. And they're also benefiting from the somewhat weaker euro that we're currently seeing. More on that in a moment. The Asia-Pacific region also benefiting for the most part from today's action. And this is quite interesting because Japan, gains of a third of a percent in here today, but Japan's right up on the higher side of its trading range for the Nikkei 225 and the Topix index. The TSE2, that's that second section index that I posted yesterday, and that has, as you know, it just surged through to new high ground. And over the years, I've often mentioned that as a important lead indicator to keep an eye on. And it's suggesting that the Japanese stock market, the broader Japanese stock market, will be moving higher in coming months, all things being equal. A qualification there, but I maintain that Japan is still an attractive medium to longer term prospect, although it has certainly spent the first 7 months of this year just consolidating those terrific gains that it saw last year. But I think that consolidation process is coming to a close. A very informed market here right now. Well, there's several of them that I continue to like, but the China sector, including today, the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, which had a good 2.3% gain on a belief that the tensions with mainland China were going to subside here somewhat. I certainly hope so. And I say that's a strong gain by a market that had been in form prior to the demonstrations that had occurred over the last few days in Hong Kong. And the Shanghai Composite Index up another 1% here today, tacked on a further 22.5 points. It's taken it up to 2,288. This looks like the real deal, as I've said before. It was a serial underperformer, and no doubt there are plenty of ongoing problems with China, not least regarding the housing market, a lot of corruption issues. But it's the cheapest major market in the world, and also, I saw one comment that I don't question that. Said that China's banks were trading really on the same valuations that we saw for Greek banks if you go back just over 5 years. Yet China's banks are heavily invested in by the state. In other words, they're government controlled. And I think that argues against a banking crisis. And when they're selling at around 10 times earnings or less and offering decent dividends, it's an attractive sector. And the whole market, again, I can't overemphasize this point, is on extremely attractive valuations. Now, India, a little overbought in the short term, but again, another solid performance here today. And it's easier to mention what didn't go up today. And Korea down a tiny fraction. The Australian stock market similarly less. We're talking about less than a percentage point, considerably less than a percentage, a bigger part, considerably less than a tenth of a percentage in point in terms of the decline. And we also had a similarly small decline by Malaysia. Good gains in Thailand and also Indonesia. Now, what about Wall Street? Well, it was steady this morning following the gains that we'd seen in Asia and also in Europe, but then it gave up most of those gains. The Dow still managed to hold on to a 10-point rally. Which isn't much, and the S&P 500 index had been up, I think, at 200, I beg your pardon, 2008, this early this morning, but it gave up all of that and closed down a point and a half. It's currently, well, it closed at 2,000.72, and the Nasdaq was also lower. That was hit by a take profits recommendation, I think, from one of the banks or leading brokers on the basis that it had rallied all the way back up to its all-time highs and was a little overextended in the short term. And then there's also some concern about the competition from Samsung's new products, and that helped to drag the Nasdaq index down a little over half a percentage point. Government bonds, well, they rallied sharply yesterday. I mentioned those upward dynamics and in terms of the yields. So bonds weakened, I should say, if you do use the conventional term, but the yields had rallied sharply, and they continued that this morning. The U.S. 10-year yield pushed up to, I think it was 2.48 and change, and but then it came right back down and closed just below the 2.40 level. Now, looking at currency markets in here today, the US dollar index is a little easier today, but it's been on a bit of a tear recently with all the global concerns that investors have, or that have certainly been on investors' minds. Euro slightly firmer, 1.3151 against the dollar, and sterling is a fraction easier, 1.6462 against the greenback. In commodity action, mostly weakness again in here today. The grains and beans in the U.S. sector. This is bullish news in terms of food costs, but some sharpish declines here today. So they've had continued very good weather. So many crops benefiting from good weather. The big exception is the Brazilian situation with coffee, which has kept prices very high. And then, of course, the drought situation that we've seen in California. Precious metals, mixed performance, though most well, a little bit. Palladium down another $7, 876. And silver slightly firmer, 19.20. And platinum, I think, also $3 higher at $1,412. Gold bullion up $4 at 1,269 and change. Again, I maintain that these precious metals are cheap at these levels, but they are not yet. They are clearly not yet in form. When you see gold begin to outperform the Dow, that's when they'll certainly become more interesting. But I think are they a justifiable hedge down at these levels? To a modest extent, below 5%, in my own view. I have a small holding and it's well below 5%. And it's not doing me any favors here at the moment, but you know the old story on a hedge. You know, you don't mind if you don't mind too much if your hedge doesn't pay off. It's like an insurance policy here overall. But I know that one of the people coming along to our seminar, which is coming up, that's the Markets Now seminar, which will be next Monday evening in London. Love to see you if you're free and interested in coming along because you've got a good, well, you've got three speakers, and including myself and Ian Little. And it's generally always fun at the East India Club. But at any rate, one of the people who has signed up for this said, "What would you invest in the event of a war in the European region with Russia?" And well, hopefully that won't happen. But I think the obvious answer, at least for me, would be gold and silver. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.